1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Herb, you were describing the average baseball fan.
Well, the average baseball fan, Phil, is not unlike, and I know this is not a flattering analogy, but I think it is a representative one. The average baseball fan is like an alcoholic. When you're in the throes of alcoholism, you really don't care what you drink, Lysol or cologne or mouthwash. It doesn't matter, and I think the fans need baseball so much that they'll come back.
But you're almost saying that baseball fans have no mind of their own. They'll watch baseball regardless of how they're treated.
Well, Phil, this is the national pastime. You're countenancing, Mr. Henry, that fans turn away from the national pastime 1 year after 9/11. I've been a player's agent for 20 years. The baseball game, being the national pastime, I think, is very important to us after 9/11. And so fans will come back, and they will go to baseball games. They'll do as they're told.
Why would you want fans who do as they're told as opposed to fans who are doing what they want to do?
Well, they are doing what they want to do. Baseball fans began watching baseball because they wanted to watch baseball. It became a very big sport. Today, the baseball fan will do as he's told because the game is bigger than all of us, and I think we've all been reminded that baseball is bigger than the players, it's bigger than the owners. I think that what you'll see are the fans sticking with baseball no matter what, because that's what they're supposed to do.
All right, let's talk a little bit. We're talking with Herb Sewell. He's a player agent, represents some major players in baseball as well as in the National Football League. What about the players? Aren't they turning away from the game with their strike themselves?
Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Henry. The players are baseball. There is no baseball unless there are players.
There wouldn't be baseball unless there were owners.
I'm sorry?
There wouldn't be baseball unless there were owners. Don't you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. There would still be baseball without owners because the players could just go out and play.
How can there be baseball without ownership, without structure?
Because, as I was going to say, the players could just go out and play and collect the money themselves and keep it for themselves. But because they feel sorry for a lot of these owners who are pathetic little men who made their money selling washing machines or used cars or whatever they've done, and they've always wanted to be real men, real athletes, and they feel sorry for them. And so the players let them own teams. Again, you have to understand, there would be baseball with players because the players would just keep the money for themselves, but they allow owners to own the teams. And
so you're saying that it is with a sense of patriotism after 9/11 that fans should still go to the game?
After 9/11, fans will go to the games, regardless of a strike. We gave tribute to our heroes in the country after 9/11 when we recognized the great heroes who they were, the firefighters, the great firefighters, the great policemen, and of course the Major League Baseball players. These three professions gave themselves during that national emergency like no other, and they were the only ones that honored that day by not playing the baseball players. The other sports, football, soccer, hockey, and basketball, all continued playing like absolute pigs. And they may as well have in a very juvenile way, bent over and mooned Ground Zero.
So the football and the hockey and the basketball, you're saying by playing on 9/11 or after 9/11, mooned Ground Zero.
Well, I'm saying thank God I'm a baseball agent. That's why the players should get their money before September 11th.
You mentioned the instructions that the Major League Players Association has for the fans.
A couple of things we want to do, and if your listeners can get a pencil, they can write these down.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm waiting to see if they want to get a pencil or a pen or...
All right, okay. Get a pencil. These are instructions that the Major League Baseball players have for fans.
That is correct. Number one. Write to Major League Baseball owners and tell them to give the players what they want in terms of the revenue sharing. Number two, set aside a souvenir fund in your home so that when the players are back, you'll go to the stadium and you'll buy souvenirs because the players share in the merchandise. And number three, don't watch any NFL football or any baseball or basketball, I should say, or hockey until the strike is resolved. And number four, remember that as an agent, and most of our player reps get 10% of our clients' gross income, and I don't live on air, so the sooner the players come back, the better. And I didn't want to bring this up.
Let me give our phone number out, because I think at this point I want to ask some questions of the audience here. You've mentioned some demands of the fans.
Well, these are not demands. This is simply what they're going to do as baseball fans.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you're a baseball fan, you've heard yourself, I think rather unflatteringly too, Mr. Sewell, described as a junkie or an alcoholic who can't stay away from Lysol, cologne, or mouthwash, and so you won't stay away from baseball.
Well, you say that's unflattering. I think what I'm trying to tell you and your listeners is baseball is the national pastime. So, yes, they will come back to it the way someone who is addicted to something will come back to.
Yeah, but an alcoholic addicted to mouthwash, cologne, and canned heat.
I think you're emphasizing the negative, and what we're trying to do is simply get the word out to the fans. You will continue to watch baseball after the strike is over.
Now, you said you had a personal thing you wanted to bring up as part of point four here.
Remember that as an agent, as I said, Phil, I don't live on air. And as a result of that, I didn't want to bring this up, but I love my wife, Merrily. I've been married to her for 21 years. And I love her very much, but she has threatened to leave me and leave our two children unless I purchase her some cosmetic surgery in the form of breast enhancement, and that is about $10,000 per breast. This strike has hurt all of us in different ways, the players' income, agents' income.
So you really believe that the fans are going to go along with your four steps for reviving baseball, including one step in which you'll get your money to give your wife a breast job?
Well, it's the, first of all, so let's forget about the breast job. Let's talk about the...
Well, you brought up the breast job for your wife.
Well, let's talk about the fact that baseball is the national pastime, Phil. And I would think the fans would do what they're supposed to do and support the players in what they want. The last thing these fans need to have is one more loss in their lives. They've lost a part of the soul of this country with 9/11. Let's not lose our national pastime that represents this country so well. And if the fans don't support the baseball players through this strike, they might as well be stealing from the 9/11 Victims Fund, because it's the...
See, that to me, that's hyperbole.
No, that to me, it's the same as stealing from the welfare of these players. If you are stealing from baseball by not going to the games, you might as well stick your hand into the Firefighters and Orphans Fund. And take their money. That is what I think is going. But I'm confident, as are all the players, that the fans will do as they're told and go back to the games.
I have a question. If I love baseball, do I have to be told to go to the game?
If you love baseball the way baseball fans love baseball, then yes, you are told to do things and you do them. You're told that baseball season is opening. What do? Then you go and get your season tickets. You're told that the Yankees are coming to town, or the Arizona Diamondbacks are coming to town, or the Toronto Blue Jays, or the Red Sox, and you go and get your tickets. You're told that the All-Star balloting has started, and you go and you vote. That's what I mean. Baseball fans, Phil, more than any other fan, do as they're told. And that's why I have complete confidence that this strike will end and baseball fans will come back to this game just as strongly, if not stronger, than ever before.
Do you not believe that the 94 strike hurt baseball?
No, I do not. If you look at the revenue and if you look at the attendance, it hasn't hurt anyone. So baseball has done very well. The fans will come back because they're supposed to come back. They'll do as they're told. And again, I don't live on air. I have a wife who I love very much, who is in need of cosmetic surgery.
Well, this is breast enhancement, sir. This is not...
I understand that, but it, again, is something that I can't go out to the money tree and pick hundreds off of the tree. So I need to have income, and And we will. I think we'll get through this strike, and the fans will do what they're supposed to do, and that is follow our steps.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Herb, I want to give out our phone number and get some input from the fans.
I understand.
All right. And you've heard, basically, Mr. Sewell, who is a player's agent, describe fans of baseball not unlike alcoholics who are addicted to alcohol to the point where they'll drink anything. Cologne, mouthwash, aftershave, and Sterno. I don't know that that's a very flattering picture of you guys. Will you do as you're told if you're a baseball fan? Will you go back to watch baseball when the strike is over? Will you go ahead and buy souvenirs? Will you make sure that you don't watch National Football League football? Will you, in other words, do what the players want you to do? Be happy through the strike, and when it's over, you'll come back and watch baseball, happy that baseball's back. Are you that addicted? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I know the players. Now, what is the comment? Herb Sewell is with us, who's a sports agent. What is the general promotional line that the players are holding during this strike?
Well, Phil, the reality is that there are 3,000 Americans after 9/11 who will never see a baseball game again. And the question is, why should 250 million more Americans suffer too? So that what we're saying is, give the players what they want, support them during the strike, and then you will go back and watch baseball.
Because you're an alcoholic.
I think you're playing that up a little bit.
Well, you said basically baseball fans are so addicted.
I said that baseball fans are addicted, not unlike someone who's addicted to a drug. And there are good drugs and there are bad drugs.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Herb Sewell, who says the baseball fan will go back regardless because they're addicted to baseball. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Kevin. Here is Warren. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Warren?
Office jackass who's talking about baseball fans being like alcoholics and substance abusers.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Yes. I'm in the U.S. military, and some of the people in my service
have had
to go on WIC and on food stamps to be able to support their families, their wives, and their children.
But that's
and these baseball players, these crying babies, they think they need this extra money for what? Bigger houses? More cars?
No.
What about the people that are trying to feed their families?
They're more people will go to a baseball game than will actually watch someone fight a war, for instance, or fly a jet or whatever it is that you do.
So would that make that more important than the people that keep you safe at night protecting our country?
Well, I would ask you Warren. When you fly your airplane, how many people come out to watch you do it?
How many people come out? That's not the issue.
Exactly the issue.
The issue is how many people can play baseball because of what I do.
These major league players are the only ones that brought this crippled country back after 9/11.
That's absurd. And to compare baseball players to firefighters and policemen?
Absolutely. They were the three main heroes after 9/11. All right, Warren? I'm glad I'm setting you straight on
really,
this.
Really? Really, I am upset. Because your wife's food job has precedence over people that are trying to feed their families.
I beg your pardon?
That's wrong.
I beg your pardon?
So your wife's breast job has more higher importance than
I don't
the
believe you're in the Air Force.
What
Air Force base do you fly out of? I used to be in the Air Force.
I don't think that's a relevant issue.
Yeah, what Air Force base do you fly out of?
That's none.
What Air Force base do you fly out of?
Why do you?
You're not really in the Air Force, are you, Warren?
No, I am in the Air Force.
Okay, so what Air Force base are you going to?
I cannot personally
put
out any
crap.
Sort of
that's
message
bullcrap.
And opinion.
That's bullcrap. You're giving an opinion right now.
This guy's not
I can't give an opinion on behalf of the Air Force.
Nobody's asking you to give an opinion on behalf of the Air Force. What's your opinion?
My opinion is I think it's wrong. The people that are in the service, if you want to give anybody extra money, these people that are trying to support their families that have to be away from them.
Well, I would ask you the question again. How many people come out to watch you fly your jet? None. But millions come out to watch baseball players. How many bobblehead dolls do they make of Air Force personnel? None. But millions are made out of baseball players. And ultimately, how many people does the Air Force employ as opposed to Major League Baseball? Hardly any. And so I would put for the military, you have to understand, Warren, compared to baseball, hardly employs anyone. The military employs very, very, very few people at a cost that is very, very small compared to the enormous billions of dollars that baseball pumps into the American economy. America the Beautiful, that's what we sing. My wife's enhanced breasts make America beautiful. And when I say that my wife needs a breast job because of the fact that that would make her happier, then I say that I need more money to get the breast job for her. And the only way I can get that money as a sports agent is by getting the 10% of what my players earn. That means they must make more, and they must go out on the strike to get more. And they must be supported by the fans following the strike.
So your wife can have a breast job?
I said to you that my wife has threatened to leave me unless she gets this cosmetic surgery. So I think it's only right that you send this message out to the listeners tonight and tell them, go see baseball games so that I make more money. Look, there are 3,000 Americans who will never get their breasts enhanced. Why should 250...
You know, you've been bringing this 9/11. 3,000 Americans, a lot of those people that died were men, so they're not going to get their breasts...
All right, let's say that half of them were women. There's 1,500 Americans that will never have a breast enhancement. Why should 250 million or 125 million women not have their breast? Go to baseball games or my kids will not see their father because she'll take them from me. She will travel to this ex-con that she's been corresponding with. He left Rayford State Prison in Florida about 3 months ago. She's had continuous correspondence with him and is now going to be moving in with him in Omaha, Nebraska, where I believe he's gotten a job as a machinist. This is where my children will be living instead of with me in Brentwood, California. So I'm very, very optimistic that baseball, of course, will be back stronger than ever.
We have gone from talking about the baseball strike to the breast enhancement that your wife is going to have so she won't live with an ex-con who's now moving to Omaha, Nebraska to be a machinist. Now, this has nothing...
Phil, there are 3,000 Americans who will never get the chance to run off with some con from the Bushnell State Correction Institute or from the men's colony at San Luis Obispo or from Greenhaven or Sing Sing. Why should 250 million more Americans suffer? That convict, by the way, already put 50% down for her breasts, and I haven't put down nickel one. Because I, frankly, I can't live on air.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So the baseball fan of America is going to go out after the strike, and they'll be right up to speed again on following baseball.
That is correct.
Well, you know there's been a threatened fan strike.
That will never materialize.
Why not?
Fans don't have the... baseball fans simply do not have what it takes to mount any kind of concerted action against baseball. Baseball fans do not have the strength of will or the strength of character to begin mounting any kind of political or economic action against baseball. Baseball fans come from all walks of life. But at the very bottom line, I think we see the baseball fan for what he is. Weak-willed. One who will shovel $160 to $200 per game, an individual who will very faithfully, like an obedient dog with his tail wagging and saliva dripping down his ever-lolling tongue, sit in front of a television set and watch some Puerto Rican or Dominican or white or black player stand there, grab his crotch, smell his armpit, and knock something out of the ballpark after he's been snorting creatine all night. So I think the baseball fan, like the RCA Victor dog, standing in front of the big megaphone and tilting his head when he hears his master's voice. Phil, there are 3,000 Americans who will never get the chance to lick the cocaine residue off of a junkie's lip the way baseball fans do. Why should 250 million more Americans suffer?
Whoa, you really love the baseball fan, don't you?
We are appreciative of their loyalty.
Well, as a sports agent, I would say you have nothing more in mind than getting enough money for a breast job for your wife. The baseball fan is a junkie. You, the baseball fan. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead. You're on the air. You're on the air, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi. I think that if the U.S. military wasn't...
Are you there, Herb?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
I think the U.S. military makes baseball possible. They guard our freedom, and to compare the U.S. military is trivial.
Well,
to baseball.
The U.S. military is essential to a degree, but no one pays money to watch someone fly a jet or wax a Jeep. All right.
That's right, but if they didn't, those soldiers are paid money to do that.
The
and
soldiers
if they didn't
are, yeah,
do that.
Exactly. That's not, the military is not a spectator sport.
And as such, does not generate revenue.
Baseball, so what? It protects your freedom.
Protects my freedom. Yes, it does. But baseball also protects your freedom. Baseball.
How does baseball? You know, I want to go to football games now more than baseball games. I love baseball, but I'll never go to another one.
Well,
after
whereabouts do you live, ma'am?
I live in Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York?
Yes.
What baseball do they have there? The last time I checked, there was
Toronto Blue Jays, the Cleveland Indians, the New York Yankees. You don't think I can travel?
Well, wait a minute.
I have a
Cleveland,
car.
Cleveland? You what, do you drive to Cleveland Indian games?
Of course.
I fail to see, what you're talking. The Major League Baseball players, all we have left in America to look up to is our hero. Almost a year ago, we saw them bloodied and beaten, covered in soot and debris. But they rose from the ashes to give us our freedom. Our freedom as Americans.
The baseball players?
You're talking about firefighters and police officers, aren't you?
Yes, firefighters and police officers.
And the NFL
took a day off of their schedule.
I don't
to
think
honor.
Are you telling me you drive to Cleveland Indian games?
Will you forget that?
Of course
that.
I would. Of
forget
course
it.
I do. I
Buffalo,
go to the Buffalo Bisons. I go to the Cleveland Indians. I go to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Have you been to the Boston Yankee games?
Yes.
Aha! I just found out that you're not a baseball fan because it's the Boston Red Sox, not the Boston Yankees. So
the
there
Boston.
You go, Phil.
She thought you meant Boston versus Yankees.
Yes.
Wow.
Jesus.
Do you go to the Los Angeles Angel games?
You know, give it a rest.
You know something? What is your name, dear?
Matilda.
Matilda?
Yes.
It's Matilda, as in waltzing Matilda. Do you know that our country wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for Dominican and Puerto Rican ball players? Forget the white ones. Let's just talk about the ones that speak Spanish. The ones that have their crosses around their necks. And the ones.
Are you a lawyer?
I'm a sports agent.
The ones that
do the little sign of the cross before they take an at-bat. The ones that spit through their teeth, which I think is just phenomenal. The ones that pull their shirt sleeves up and then point to
a player. I think your values are wrong.
My values? Fernando Valenzuela.
I think you should... You should let your wife go and give the breast implant money to somebody else.
Wait a second. I love my wife. She's running off with an ex-con, a crank dealer, from Bushnell
and
Correction.
And you're telling that on national radio? What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm talking about it because this is why I need the money from the player commission.
She's running off with an ex-con letter. Maybe he's better than you are.
Maybe
he has better values.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, better values. He was in cell block C. He was on the yard for 5 years dealing.
And you're telling that, and you're not embarrassed to tell that? You're sick, man.
I'm telling that so that people will understand the difficult straits that I am in now as a man.
You know what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about breast implants.
Yes,
it's
they do.
Trivial.
My wife does. Here's a guy that snorts crank off of a hunting knife.
You know what?
Wife,
I don't care.
And my
I
wife
don't
would
care. You know, I don't even want to hear it. I don't care about what
well,
your,
what do you
your
care
wife
about?
Does.
Do you care about baseball? Do you care about the players?
I care about people.
We would still have baseball if there were no owners. And
I'd like to know, how do you justify we'd have baseball if there were no owners?
The players would place a hat at the gate. They'd go out and play, and they'd have people put the money in the hat, and then they'd
Hello?
Divvy it up. Hello? Hello?
I just think that whatever you were to say is
you know,
so
suddenly
trivial.
You suddenly got younger.
Is this the daughter?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your opinion, ma'am?
This is the daughter.
Yeah, what's the opinion, man?
It just made me so like sick to my stomach just listening to you say that. Like, I've been to so many games with my dad, and I don't look at baseball games as sitting there, like,
I look at what game? The Buffalo Bison games? Is that what I...
I've been games at Fenway Park. I've been all over the place.
What is
that?
Fenway Park? I don't know where that is.
Fenway.
Fenway, that's what I said.
All right, I thought you said Funway.
No. I mean, to listen to you say that you just want to, like, watch baseball games just because your wife needs breast implants, that's obviously ridiculous.
I need the money from the player commission. How old are you, dear?
How old am I? I'm 17.
All right, you know my wife's leaving me.
I don't really care if she's leaving you. I just think it makes
all
me
right.
sick to listen
well,
to somebody talk about how they want to make money. I mean, we all love baseball, obviously.
Yes,
and
we
you
do.
Know, I don't even want to talk to you anymore here.
I love baseball. I was going to offer the young lady, is she gone?
Yes.
I was going to say if my wife leaves me and I get enough money for the breast implants, I'd give them to this young lady. Is the young lady still there?
Hello? All right, look.
Your mother, the mother said that this ex-con has better morals than me. A guy who wore a wig made from a mop and called himself Sally Ann for 10 years a hard time, and he has better morals. Yeah, right.
Turn your stupid ass music off, okay?
Well.
I hope that you, I swear to God, I hope you don't get any money. No money for breast implants, no money for skin peels, no money for collagen shots, nothing. I hope the players stay out on strike forevermore. Because you know, on our show, we support the player strike. We hope it never ends.
I'll get the boob job then.
Yeah, you go right ahead and have that done, Herb, for yourself. As you know, here at the Phil Henry Show, we support the player strike. We hope it never ends. We hope it goes on forever. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Phil, do you have a quarter for a cup of coffee?
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
My name's Phil Henry. I did the voice there of the guy, whatever his name was, Herb Sewell. That was me doing his voice, and the people who called in thought he was a real guy, and they were talking to him about baseball and how Herb thinks all baseball fans are junkies. If there are any baseball fans left, that is. Now, we'd like to welcome aboard, and we rarely announce new affiliates, because we like everybody to feel as if they're all in one big family, and that our broadcast syndication effort is ever expanding, and we don't really make a big deal out of grabbing new affiliates. We just hopefully expand the signal and expand the reach of our radio show. But we're excited tonight because we've entered another country. We've entered our neighbors to the north. If you pardon the expression, entered our neighbors to the north. We are now in Canada on Mojo Radio in Vancouver. And we're excited about that for a couple of reasons. First off, our producer, Janice Ungaro, is a native of Vancouver, B.C., and Janice herself was one of the premier talents on air in Vancouver for many years, and she is here with us in Los Angeles and wants us to give a big shout-out to all of the scum, the people that she worked with up there. And I understand Janice was in Vancouver last weekend at a comedy festival of some sort, of some nature, some political persuasion, and did very well. So Janice was emceeing. She also helps us write and produce our show every day. So we're really excited to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, on Mojo Radio, that's CKLG, 7:30 on your AM dial, along with some other great talent like Matt Drudge and Glenn Beck and some fine people up there. Now, from our show on Tuesday, Bobby Dooley was with us. And for those of you in Vancouver, this is me also doing the voice of Bobby in this bit. Bobby was talking, who was it? Oh, it's Brass. Brass Villanueva, who is he's an entrepreneur attempting to sell Elvis wigs, and nobody's buying them. And he thinks it's because of racism. He thinks it's because he's Hispanic that they're not buying his 100% human hair Elvis wigs, where he also reconditions them for $25. Here's Brass from our show on Tuesday.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, Mr. Henry.
This guy is absolutely ridiculous.
There's been racism against the Latin people for years. Selena got
stabbed. Why do you have to advertise that you're Mexican or whatever?
Because that's why nobody wants to reimburse me for my business expense, even though they'll reimburse some white man who lives in a trailer when it gets blown away by a tornado.
How do they know that you're Mexican? You're selling wigs. Nobody's jumping on the Elvis
wig. No, I sell them at a stand, outdoor stand in Echo Park.
All right, so what do you... Okay, give me this one. The guys outside of concerts and football games selling T-shirts, and they don't make their money back. Should they get subsidized, too?
Is he a Mexican? I think he
has... It doesn't matter.
I think he has a case if he's Mexican.
No.
You're saying he's white.
All right.
Well, how do you make
Sam,
the case?
I'm white. If I had a stand selling Elvis wigs, I wouldn't expect anybody to come to it.
Well, then you're not a very good salesman. You're not a very good salesman.
Wait a minute.
Obviously, you're not either. And that's all it is. It has nothing to do with your race. You're not a good salesman either.
Why are you saying these are top quality wigs? We offer $25 reconditioning.
Who the hell wants an Elvis wig? That's your problem.
First of all,
it may be a legitimate business, but it's not a... I'm sorry, my language. It's not a hot...
Here's the thing I'm saying to you. 25 years ago this week, Elvis Presley died. This is the 25th anniversary of his death.
I know this.
Okay, so it is a collectible.
Okay.
Now, if he's a white man who's running a stand, I don't think he should get reimbursed because there's no history of racism against white men. But if he's Mexican, he should get reimbursed.
You don't have a case.
Well, that's nuts, man. How do you separate out the fact that your product is substandard from the fact that nobody wants to buy it because you're Mexican?
Because of the fact that they give trailer people money when their trailer gets blown away. They give dairy farmers money. They give wheat farmers
dairy
money.
Dairy farmers are providing milk and eggs.
No, they pay them.
You don't need an Elvis wig.
They pay them not to make milk. They pay them not to grow wheat. They pay them not to grow corn. How do you figure that?
Yeah.
See, you don't have an answer for that.
You're right, because nobody wants an Elvis wig, sir.
I sold all I had in Mexico. Then I came across the border. I tried to make it on the USA. USA spit on me.
How'd you get across the border?
That's not relevant.
Good question.
That's not relevant.
Good question.
Why isn't it relevant?
It's just not relevant.
So now you're not even an American citizen, but yet you want American money.
How did you get
your product that nobody wants?
If you look at the polls in Mexico
right now... Are you an American citizen, sir?
I think that's irrelevant to what I'm talking
about. No, I don't think so, because you're asking for American money and you're not even a citizen.
How come I was able to sell Elvis wigs in Mexico?
Because you're Mexican.
Yeah, I guess they aren't racist.
That's your country.
Our government sends food to Afghanistan. Okay?
Wait, you're saying our government. You're not even a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you this.
You're not a citizen,
you're really dodging,
and you want American money.
You're dodging this guy.
All right, let me say this.
No, but you're dodging this guy, okay?
No, I'm in California right now. California at one time was a part of Mexico. If you go down to Mexico right now, you'll find a lot of people think it still ought to be a part.
Well, it ain't. It ain't, and this is America. Now, how did you get over the border here?
That's not relevant.
It is relevant.
It is relevant. You're asking for American money, and you're not American.
Do you know how
hard it
is?
You're not a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you something. You talk about entrepreneurial spirit. I had to sneak $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs from Mexico to the United States.
That's great. Become a citizen. Become a citizen and then ask for
money. Now you've just admitted that you snuck $10,000 worth of wigs.
All right, I admit that. But...
So you're an illegal immigrant... looking for our money, and you're complaining that people from 9/11 are getting money and people's houses are wrecked by tragedy and disaster, they get money. They deserve it. They're citizens.
How do they deserve it? How stupid do you have to be to put a trailer in the middle of tornado country?
How stupid do you have to be to smuggle wigs over the border? I can't even believe I'm saying it.
My wigs are 100% lice-free. These are wigs that are reconditioned for
I understand
and you're still
your
trying
freaking
to sell them. You're on air trying to sell your product that nobody wants.
They gave a food to Afghanistan.
They gave food
because we're bombing their country. There are innocent people over there that do deserve that money.
Some people over there have been the collateral damage of a war, innocent people who need food. You snuck $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs across the border into the United States. You can't sell them. even though their life's free, and you give a $25 recondition. and
okay, see, that's all racist, because you love to laugh at the Mexicans. All you want to do is laugh at the Mexican.
We're not laughing at you because you're Mexican. We're laughing at you because you're selling a half-assed product. You're looking for money from a country that isn't yours.
You know there are innocent people here in America who are getting ripped off because we was lied to about how popular Elvis Presley was?
Now, that's your problem. No, carpe diem, dude.
That's not my problem. Are you
saying, it is.
How do you
feel? Don't believe the hype.
Okay, but Elvis, everybody said Elvis was popular.
Elvis is popular. It doesn't mean his hair is. You're not even selling his hair. You're selling a wig that looks like his hair.
This is something you can wear.
Okay, look at Matt, we've taken up enough of your time.
No, I want to make a point. What
colors are the wigs?
What color?
Yeah. They're black?
No, they're red.
They're red! Elvis has black hair!
Hey, excuse me, I don't know if you've seen the kids these days. They like to dye their hair red, blue, and all that.
Oh, my God. Buddy, you don't have a product. That's your problem. You don't have a product. Quit complaining.
That anybody wants.
I have already petitioned the United States Department of Commerce.
Well, and then you're not going to get nothing.
Hey, and I'll tell you something else. If you saw the movie Kissing Cousins, Elvis had red hair. So, you know, it can go either way.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Guys, there you go. So that, for the benefit of our new listeners in Vancouver, just so you know, that's me doing the voice there of Brass and the guy who calls in. It's pretty confusing. It's pretty out there. It's, like, never been done before, and I'm not even sure we should be doing it, but we're doing it. And that bit was from Tuesday of this week, where Brass apparently was selling those Elvis wigs. 100% lice-free, and he'll give you a $25 reconditioning of your Elvis wig. Fantastic. 1-800-449-8686. So welcome to the fold, Mojo Radio Vancouver. Very happy to be in Canada. My family comes from Canada. I have roots that go back years and years and years. Thousands of people. Let me just talk for another couple of hours about what Canada means to me. I can sing, "Oh Canada," like that cat does out on that red carpet before the hockey games. "Oh Canada." It's the one guy every game. "Oh cat," you know the guy? They got like a little fat guy that goes out on a red carpet. "Oh, Canada." But I don't mean to make fun of the Canadian anthem, all right? Because God knows we've taken enough shots at the American anthem. Especially, which I was the first guy to point out to Jeffrey Osborne. "Oh, say." Okay, our website, by the way, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Pick up our Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Get our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Check out our Phil Henry Show Theater. Today, brand new one, Vernon Dozier and Bobby in Plain Go Boom, as well as Fistful of Dollars, starring Bud Dickman and Clint Eastwood. That's on our website. And what else we got? Oh, the wall of female listeners. We only have 30 women listening to this show, but their pictures are all up on our wall of female listeners, so check that out. And don't forget Phil Henry Through History, all on our website.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
But you had no idea the boy was on crutches.
I'm sorry, sir.
You had no idea when you hit that boy with your guitar that he was on crutches?
Sir, I had no idea because the kid was walking away slowly, and I thought he was trying to be one of these smartasses trying to be too cool.
Now, you hit this kid with a guitar in the middle of a mall. The boy has muscular dystrophy.
Let me explain, as I did to your producer, Mr. Henry. I was in the Korean conflict, 1950-1952. Elvis Presley was very important to Korean War veterans, and every year we have a show put on by some of the Korean War vets here in Alhambra to benefit the widows of husbands who they've lost recently who are veterans. So we had our stage set up in the mall. And the different vets get up, and we dress up as Elvis Presley. It's a lot of fun, and we do the songs. Now, I usually do the closing number because everyone likes... I seem to be able to get the essence of Elvis, because you have to remember that man was very special to my generation. And when these kids think it's funny...
Well, all right, so then what?
All right, I do the song Blue Suede Shoes.
Now, there's a point in the song where I sing, honey, lay off of my blue suede shoes, and then I do a hitch kick, which is the trademark step of Elvis and Carl Perkins, and that line, get off of my blue suede shoes. And it basically means a lot to veterans because, for me, the line, get off my blue suede shoes, means, you godless chink, don't you ever think you'll put your hands on me, and I forgive me for the language.
You godless chink.
Mr. Henry, we fought the Chinese in Korea.
I understand, but I think it's a little rough nowadays to use a term like that.
Well, if you want to stand in judgment of me, sir, you should walk a mile in my shoes.
All right. So you're telling me, get off of my blue suede shoes has special meaning to Korean War veterans. It means, you godless chink, don't you ever think you'll put your hands on me.
That is correct.
So you're in an area of the mall where there are a lot of people sitting.
And I'm doing this song. Now, I saw a group of about two or three boys around 13 or 14, and they had stopped right below the lip of the stage, and they looked like they might be trouble, so I had my eye on them, and I got to the line, honey, lay off my blue suede shoes, and I did this hitch kick. And
what is it? What is a hitch kick?
It's you jump up in the air, both feet go out to the side, and you hitch your heels together.
It's like I've seen the Three Stooges do.
Excuse me, that is something that Elvis and Carl Perkins did.
All right, so you jump up, you did the hitch kick, and a kid threw something?
One of these kids threw a Wendy's milkshake cup at me and made one of these raspberry sounds. And for people in your audience, it's, you know, that kind of a sound.
I understand.
And I knew what was going to happen, and I yelled at them to get the H out of there. Two of them ran off, but this third one was really arrogant and took his sweet time, as if he were being defiant, and as if he was spitting into my face.
All right, so you hit him with your guitar.
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, this boy you hit with your guitar is identified as Justin Braddock. He's 15 years old. He's afflicted with muscular dystrophy. His mother tells us that he's on aluminum crutches to help with that mobility.
Well, you know something, Mr. Henry? I'm not interested in that because his friends were the ones who threw the milkshake cup at me. His friends were the ones who gave me a raspberry, and but he's Mr. Cool, and he's just going to kind of walk away real slow, and that's when, in my opinion, he gets a $3,000 Martin guitar in the back of the head.
You think the kid is being Mr. Cool, but you got to understand, he isn't walking away slowly. He's on metal crutches. This kid had difficulty talking as well, and certainly difficulty defending himself. You expect his parents to pay for that guitar?
Let me tell you something. I fought for my country in Korea. When I got out, a new voice was heard in American music, and that was the voice of Elvis Presley. He loved his country.
Well, hold on for a minute. You expect this boy's parents to pay for your guitar?
If I can be allowed to finish, sir.
Okay.
Elvis Presley loved his country. He loved our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loved his mother. And in the midst of it, he got into a little trouble with drugs, and God took him away. He left us with a legacy of music that even the Beatles can't touch. And I was trying to pay tribute to him, and along comes Tiny Tim and his pals. And
all right, to call this boy Tiny Tim, the kid is afflicted with muscular dystrophy.
Because that's how he's trying to get sympathy, like that Tiny Tim. I want the parents to pay for my guitar and a donation to the widows, and I'll drop my countersuit against them for using his candy cap to garner sympathy with the police. Elvis Presley means a lot to my generation. And crippled or not, no kid throws a Wendy's milkshake cup at me, and just like the Chinese in 1950, you don't put your hands on me.
Well, you got a countersuit against them?
I am contemplating a countersuit, yes, sir.
The young man's name is Justin Braddock. He was hit with a guitar because apparently he threw a milkshake cup, or one of his friends did.
One of them, I don't know. I don't care if he did it, he got it.
You don't care if he did it, he got it.
Yes, sir.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Right in the middle of this Elvis anniversary of his passing, we have this gentleman who is in some kind of an Elvis show in a local mall. Is that Glenview Mall?
Glenview Mall in Alhambra, yes.
You were singing a song, three kids walked up, laughed at you, threw a Wendy's milkshake cup. Two of them ran away. One of them wasn't running away fast enough, and you swung that guitar.
Let me tell you. Wendy's makes something that's called a Frosty, and I get a Frosty to the face, and people are going to pay. and that's all there is to it. And I have told his parents...
Hold on, I want to get the story out here. And you swung that guitar and smashed it over the head of this kid who's got muscular dystrophy with... You don't seem to be too sympathetic to this boy.
You know something, Mr. Henry? I saw a lot of guys come back from Korea in a lot worse shape. And I fought so that the kid with the multiple sclerosis, whatever disease he's got, can walk around in a mall and get people's sympathy, crutches or not, muscular dystrophy or not, that brat deserved a head full of 12 string, and that's what he got. Now, let me tell you something. Elvis Presley spoke to my generation. The kids of today don't get it, that's fine. But as I like to say, get off of my blue suede shoes, which means you filthy communist Chinese piece of garbage, keep your filthy hands off of me. Hello?
I'm here. I'm thinking and I'm collating the information. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I don't think there's anybody in my audience that's going to agree with you hitting a kid over the head with a guitar simply because he threw a milkshake at you or because he might have given you a raspberry. But you're saying that because Elvis is meaningful to you?
Yeah, I'm a Korean War veteran, sir, and Elvis Presley meant a lot to my generation. It may not mean much to the kids today, but don't you ever, ever make fun of Elvis Presley when he meant so much to my generation of people.
And that was, you just felt justified?
And I'm performing, I did the hitch kick, and this kid said I looked like a retard. The cripple.
Wait a minute. Before we start calling people cripples and everything...
No, I'll call him a cripple because he said to me, hey, old man, you look like a retard. And that's when I ignored him, and I hit him with the guitar, and then his parents said he's got mental dystrophy, and I said, well, he called me a retard. And once that cripple hit the floor, I finished him off with his own crutch.
I think it's a pretty sick world, sir, when you are doing Elvis Presley music and somebody throws a cup at you. I agree. But I also think...
Thank you.
All right, but I'm going to go one more. I also think it's pretty sad for a grown man. This kid was 15?
Yes, sir.
For a grown man to haul off and smash a $3,000 Martin guitar over the head of some kid on aluminum crutches.
Well, I don't care if he did it. He got it. And you know something? He's the one that called me a retard.
Well, you know what? Maybe he ought to show your age.
Well, and maybe he ought to show his age. So I got nothing, I got no qualms about it. I was doing a tribute, and these brats today have no respect for the king of rock and roll and the music that he do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You know, malls are full of kids, and this gentleman with a number of other vets was performing blue suede shoes as Elvis impersonators to raise money. One of them threw a milkshake cup or something at him. So he basically what he did was he lashed out at the first available person who he thought was walking away too slow, and that was the kid on the crutches. He smashes a guitar over the kid's head and feels justified in doing it because the kid called him a retard. And when I said to this old man, the kid you hit had muscular dystrophy, he says, well, so I got, you know, I hit a cripple. He called me a retard. It's okay for me to nail a cripple with a guitar. This is the kind of insanity going on in this world. 1-800-449-8686. Who do you think is really to blame here? Is it the old man? And I say old man, I hope he's on hold. Is it this gentleman, this Korean War veteran, or is it the kid on the crutches and his friends who started the whole thing, according to him, with the tossing of that Wendy's milkshake cup? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, you're a Korean War veteran, though.
And what I'm trying to say to you is the veterans of the Korean conflict, Mr. Henry, to them, Elvis Presley's music is very, very special. And if you don't like Elvis Presley's music, you can keep your mouth shut, especially when we are performing for our different charities. In fact, I would rather not hear anyone say anything bad about Elvis Presley, because for me, he changed the world.
Well, you had these kids throwing a milkshake cup at you.
That's right, and I responded appropriately.
Do you think that a 15-year-old kid throwing a milkshake cup is one thing? Taking a $3,000 Martin guitar and breaking it over the kid's head, don't you think that's overreacting?
Let me tell you something. Overreacting? When I'm in the middle of playing music by a man who changed the face of culture, I think it's entirely appropriate. If I was playing music by a lesser artist, if I was playing music by whoever you want to mention, whether it's Beethoven or anyone, Mozart or anyone who had lesser impact, the Beatles or whoever, then I would understand. But I was playing the music of Elvis Presley. And let me tell you what, you better keep your mouth shut, keep your eyes straight.
And then it's okay to take a guitar and smash it over the head of a kid with muscular dystrophy.
Any male veteran would have had sex with Elvis. That's how much we loved him. And I'm being facetious, but that's how much the Korean War veterans enjoyed that man's music.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. So the Korean War vets, Elvis means so much to them that they can break a guitar over a kid's head, and that's okay, even though the kid threw a milkshake cup.
Well, you're saying that like that's not a big deal. That was right in...
Well, what's the big deal with a kid throwing a cup of with a little bit of milkshake in it?
That was right in the middle of a moment in the song that was important to me. Now that...
Well, what this is a part of the song...
If I could demonstrate, because I've got a recording of what we use on stage.
This is the track of what you use on stage?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
All right, here it is. Two for the show, three to get ready. Go, cat, go, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. And here's where I do the hitch kick. Wow! Now, slander my face. Sit on my face all over the... sorry, got the lyrics wrong. Honey, lay off of my shoe. Step on the blue suede shoe. Do anything, you'll be a... blue suede shoe, and now I do the hitch kick. Yeah! And then we start playing. Here's where the kid hit me with a milkshake.
Okay.
There wasn't any milkshake in the cup, it was just the cup.
All right, he hits you with the cup.
Right, and I stopped here, and I go, and I said on the microphone, I said, that kid called me a retard. And then I took the guitar and I hit him with it. And then we... Don't you step on the blue suede shoe.
All right, so you turn that down, okay?
Yes, sir. Now, when a man waits all year to pay tribute to the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, nobody interrupts. The kid on the crutches may as well have fought with the Koreans. That's how disrespectful he was. And the cup didn't actually hit me. It fell short, but it almost hit me.
So the cup didn't hit you, and...
Don't try to make this something like it's my fault.
Well, I am going to make it. The kid tossed a milkshake cup at you. You busted a $3,000 guitar over his head. You don't see the difference?
No, sir, I do not.
Why?
Because
it's Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, and nobody interrupts his song? And you were in the middle of your hitch kick?
Yes, it was a part of the performance. If you can hear the, let's step on my shoes. Hold on. I'm all over the place, won't you step on my blue suede shoe?
I got it already. Turn it down, okay? I understand this.
On the shoes. Well, you can slander my face all over the place. Stick it in. I don't know the lyrics. I use a lyric sheet. But here's... honey, get off of my face. No, I mean, get off of the...
Get off of my shoes.
Get off of my shoes. And then do anything, blue suede shoes. Now, here's where... suede shoes, and here it is. Now the cup comes flying at me. All right, and I say,
kill it, kill it, kill it. That's what I take the guitar. Then he says, you're nothing but a retard. And I go, well, you're just a cripple. And I took the guitar, hit him with it. Now, had there been milkshake in the cup, I could have slipped on the milkshake and been injured. That's why I told his parents what I told them.
And that's why you're going to sue this kid's parents, even though they've threatened a suit.
They have threatened me with assault. I'm going to countersue because the kid could have injured me or any member of the band had he thrown milkshake at me, even though there wasn't any in the cup. But if there had been...
Well, the kid threw an empty cup.
Yes. But because of...
What is the music?
Kill it. Because of the fact that it was a milkshake cup, there could have been milkshake in it.
But there wasn't.
No.
So? Here's Sonia on the Phil Henry Show. Sonia, go ahead.
Well, personally, I think it is just sick that you would even think about hitting a child with a guitar.
Oh, so this kid's allowed to throw garbage at me.
He didn't even hit you, man.
He didn't hit you with the cup, and there wasn't any milkshake in it.
He didn't hit you, and it was empty, and he's a child. And you talk about disrespecting Elvis, you're doing that by trying to sing his music.
Oh, I get it. So none of us are allowed to sing anymore.
At least sing it well. I mean, goodness.
Elvis Presley means
at
a
least,
lot. How old are you?
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 34.
All right. You weren't even born when Elvis Presley was doing Blue Suede Shoes.
Honey, I am one of the biggest Elvis fans you could ever meet.
All right. But Blue Suede Shoes has meaning to the Korean War generation because the line, get off of my blue suede shoes.
I know, means don't touch me, you chink commie or something.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Whatever it means is irrelevant. You're talking about a child.
I dare you to sing this better than me. Off of my shoe.
Can we stick to the point?
Oh, please.
Yes, sir.
The point is here that this kid threw a cup that didn't have milkshake in it.
But if it had milkshake in it, the fluid could have hit the electrical cords and could have shorted, and we might have been burned alive.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ifs in this world. We don't go around hitting children.
If my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What's that?
Thank you.
I said if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
I don't understand.
If my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What has that got to do with what we're saying?
The lady said there's a lot of ifs.
The kids say he said he was trying to throw the cup in the trash and missed. And there was a trash can next to me, so he could have been right, but I think he's a liar. A cripple
well,
and a liar.
I think you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
Get off of her!
You give veterans a bad name.
Ma'am, I'm the one who had his ass in the grass in Korea, not you.
All right. Look, thanks for your call, Sonia. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman, a Korean War vet, hit some kid with a guitar because the kid had thrown a milkshake cup at him while he was doing blue suede shoes.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
All right, on our line here from Alhambra, we have the story of a man at the Glenview Mall in Alhambra, who was singing a song, an Elvis Presley song, and was interrupted by some kid giving him a raspberry. And a raspberry, Mr. Bonafide, you described it.
The kid made a raspberry sound.
Well, is that the... That thing?
Yes, it was. It's the sound that kids will make.
While you were doing your Elvis act.
Let me explain to your audience. Once a year I do an Elvis impersonation act at the mall. Nobody, but nobody, interrupts my act. Now, I have the entire Elvis act down to all of the different things that he did. At that point in the song, as I took a towel off of my neck, just the way the king did in his Las Vegas shows, I took the towel off and I was handing it to Marjorie Becker, whose husband was in the 1st Marine in Korea. I'm handing her the towel, and I was singing only Fools Rush In, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, when this punk kid with the spiky hair and all of his bull... God.
Okay.
Goes like this.
right when I'm singing this song. Now, you're telling me just because he was on crutches, I'm not supposed to do anything. He called me a retard.
So the kid went like that and called you a retard.
That's right.
And that's when you busted your guitar over his head.
That's right. Because I'm singing the music of the greatest single performer in history. I'm singing it as a Korean War veteran. I was singing Only Fools Rush In, and I'll play it for you.
Wait a minute, this is...
Wise men say, only fools rush in, or I can. And he had a cortisone shot. You know, what I did was, I had a cortisone shot in my hip, so my...
That ain't Fools Rush In.
Huh?
That's not Fools Rush In.
All right, knock it off. That's not Fools Rush In.
No, that's Blue Suede Shoes. That's the one you were just singing.
Well, anyway, I'd had a cortisone shot in my hips so the arthritis wouldn't get in the way of the pelvis moves, and that brat's parents could pay for that, too. You see what I'm saying? But nobody, and I mean nobody, interrupts me when I'm singing Elvis Presley.
Well, you got interrupted, and in the process, you broke this guitar in the kid's head, and now you're getting sued.
Well, they're going to get sued, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here at the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You made the crack that this kid was Tiny Tim, too, which I understand that the parents didn't like. You also said that that he was walking away like he's Mr. Cool, and when it was explained to you the kid couldn't walk any faster because he was on crutches, you said, yeah, well, that's just an excuse. Did you think the crutches were phony?
I thought so, yes.
So let me ask you something. What kind of teenagers do we have in America today who get themselves on metal crutches and go into malls because it looks cool?
I don't know, but they're twisted, in my opinion.
So you thought the kid's crutches were phony. You thought he was trying to be Mr. Cool walking along in them. You bust the guitar over his head. The kid comes back and calls you a retard. You call him a cripple. He threw a cup at you that wasn't even full of milkshake. It landed in a garbage can. Did it ever occur to you that he was throwing a cup in a garbage can?
You don't throw cups, you don't...
I know, while you're doing Elvis Presley's music.
And the parents are mad because I broke his crutches after I beat his head in. And
you said you finished him off with one of his crutches.
Uh-huh. Here's where it happened.
I know when it happened. You did your hitch kick where your feet go out to the side and the heels come together.
Back on my shoes. I was just about to go into the finale. I bring the house down when I shake my hips like Elvis. Now, I might be 69, but I still have, you know, a pretty good package here. Lay off the shoe.
Lay off of your shoe?
Or whatever the hell I got. I don't even know the GD lit.
All right, let's let Grandpa have a nice nap, huh? It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley on the show on Tuesday made the point that Bobby is the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, by the way. She said on our program and to a variety of callers, 9-11 is so 5 minutes ago, you shouldn't go to New York to broadcast the anniversary, the memorial to 9-11, Phil, because it's just so yesterday's news.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister who's a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I have quite a few family members that are in the Army that are not with me right now because of what happened on 9-11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that was my sister gone up there to save a member of your family, it'd be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be okay that maybe my sister might have died and a family member of yours didn't, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No.
I'm sorry, but you're not an American. You need to pack up and get out.
Well, I think you're getting lost in the hype.
Will you listen to what this woman's saying?
She lost
a family member.
I'm very, very sorry for that, Maureen.
No, I'm not.
Do you know what you need?
I didn't lose a family member. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you did.
That's okay. No, because if I did lose a family member,
see,
I
would
be getting a lot more out of my mouth than this.
See how the talk show host got it wrong? You see how he's purposely twisting what you're saying?
You're purposely trying to twist people's mind into believing that they're not true Americans by going and frolicking in this friggin' green grass with you. Wake up. We're at war. Wake up.
Maureen,
lost millions and millions of people.
Maureen, one word for you. If someone was lost tragically in that, one word, and it's called insurance.
Starts with I and ends with an E.
Yes.
That stands for pool.
Money, right? That's the root of all evil, money. That's all you want is money.
No, I'm saying
you need to pack up and get out because you're not a true American.
You know what
Americans grieve every day for the lost ones, whether it's a family member, whether it's somebody else. They still go on with their life. Yes, I agree. People have lost jobs here and there, but we'll get back on our feet because we're Americans, and that's what terrorists want and all those scumbags over there want.
Maureen.
You should just go over with them because obviously you don't get what American is all about.
Maureen, we have a wonderful summer display of culottes.
Like, I care. I don't care.
Culottes? In the middle of what we're talking
about?
I'm happy
that you get all the little girls out there and strutting their stuff and everything else. That's fine. That gives them something to do on their spare time.
Maureen,
but on 9/11, people are going to be home listening and watching what America's all about.
You know, Maureen, we've got a saying at Western Estates. You're about 6 minutes past 5 minutes ago.
And you keep saying that. Do you have anything else? Is your mentality at a three-year-old for not coming up with something better than that?
You got something better than that?
It's just so yesterday.
Yeah, and what you're saying is so yesterday because other people are completely, you say Americans. Don't ever use the word Americans and refer to it in a sentence with yourself because you are not.
I love my country.
Because you're going against everything that we stand for. You're letting these people, you're trying to manipulate people into doing things that they don't want to do on that day. People are still grieving.
Can I ask you something? Have you seen the new spaghetti straps on the halters that are in from Paris?
You know what? Let me tell you something. I did. You know why? Because I'm getting married, and that's something joyful in my life.
Isn't that wonderful?
My fiancé will sit down and grieve with the rest of America.
Isn't that wonderful? You're getting married. Isn't that wonderful? Is he a
great
guy?
Yeah, that's wonderful. But like I said, my fiancé will be sitting on the couch watching stuff on 9/11 and grieving with everybody else in America.
Maureen, listen. Well, look at this. See, what is that? She's wearing a beautiful...
It sounds like elevator music. I don't care.
A beautiful Halston original.
All right, fine. Look at Maureen, I think we all share your feeling.
No, we do not, Phil.
Yes, we do. All Americans share
and
how
you know
Maureen
what?
Feels.
No, we do not.
Go to New York and you blast the radio do your show and forget what anybody else thinks.
You're in the gingham slacks. One of the models, what a stupid woman. She was in the skirt and not the gingham slacks. This is what I'm dealing with, Maureen.
Oh, my God. Then we should call the president right now and tell him to stop everything because you're dealing with a fashion show.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Compared to what's going on in the United States.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I wouldn't do that at all. But look at her. What a slut.
Come on. I feel like I'm talking to my niece.
What are you talking about with a fashion show? This lady's talking about 9/11 and the things that happened.
Get her out of those gingham. Put on the culottes.
Forget the culottes. All right, Maureen, thank you.
Oh, this woman needs a psychiatrist, and she needs to go to Afghanistan and sit with Bin Laden and plan their fashion show.
How dare you say that? How dare you utter Osama Bin Laden's name in the same sentence with mine? I hate him.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, you hate him, the same thing, but you're not going to grieve and not going to be an American and do the American stuff on 9/11?
I told you to get out of the skirt and get into the slacks for good Christ almighty, the thing's tomorrow.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, speaking of 9/11... Relatives of September 11th victims, did you hear about this? They filed a $100 trillion lawsuit against the Sudanese and Saudi Arabian governments. These are the relatives of people who died at 9/11 in the World Trade Center in the Pentagon. They have filed a $100 trillion lawsuit. For the first time in my recollection, this is a lawsuit that has been filed by people for a lot of money that I really think is cool. This ain't no McDonald's, my coffee was too hot. This is, hey, Saudi Arabia, why don't you bust with some of that oil money and start paying up because you know you want to pay up because you know you were behind what happened on September the 11th. Whether or not Bush and his friends are throwing another barbecue, that's beside the point. Although, I noticed that they're suing the Sudanese government. Have they got one?
Seriously, have they even got a government to sue? I thought it was nothing but warlords and burning tires down there. They just... It's just like adobe huts and garbage cans that are turned over, and one street one guy runs, the other street another guy runs. They even got a government down there, do they? Do they pump oil out of the ground over there? And if they do, who gets the money? And if they get the money, where do they put it? Well, it's a nice try. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, they've got a nicely put together little government. They've got a sheikh, and they've got a prince, and they got a king, and they got a duke, and they got an earl, and they got it all. We could sue those guys back to the Stone Age. Oh, excuse me, they're already sort of living in the... Other than, well, I mean the people. The Saudis, are the royal family's doing fine. We could sue those guys back to the point where their country's nothing but a sandbar. Oh, you mean it is? And one of the plaintiffs said it very well. It's not the money, we just got to do something to get at these people. Another plaintiff said, this is the right thing to do. His son died in the World Trade Center. It's the right thing to do. Until now, sponsoring terrorism has been a cost-free operation, according to one of the attorneys. This complaint also ignores the Bush administration's delicate diplomatic balancing act, which is also what I dig. It ignores the delicate diplomatic balancing act with Saudi Arabia by bluntly blaming the kingdom's officials and institutions for the attacks, which is very refreshing. Because right after 9/11, we did it on this show, and I'm sure others may have mentioned it, but the government of the United States has been very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Scared?
To speak the truth, and that is that the Saudi Arabian government had every bit as much to do with the cold-blooded murder of 3,000 Americans in New York as Osama bin Laden or anybody that he's associated with. Saudi Arabian government, as a matter of fact, has a great deal to do with the cold-blooded murder of Israeli civilians with the suicide bombings. So I think this is a great time, is beautiful, for a $100 trillion lawsuit. Not $100 billion, $100 trillion. Now, if they win... I would say they can retire. $100 trillion between... How many plaintiffs are we talking about? At least 3,000 plaintiffs. What's 3,000 to 100 trillion? I don't even want to think about it, but I would... That's nice. That's a nice piece of change. Plus, you bankrupt a country, one that we don't particularly care for. Probably get their oil. So the Saudis ain't going to understand it. This is a free country, so the government can't keep citizens from filing lawsuits. Now, over in that part of the world, they don't get that at all. In that part of the world, they don't understand it. They think that we've got to kick down doors and put guns to people's heads and say, okay, you're not allowed to sue because this is going to disrupt American relations internationally. Well, that's not how it works here. So we get to sue, the government can't do anything about it, and even if Bush is playing kissy face with all the Saudis and invite them down for a big baby back rib barbecue and pass around a stein of beer or whatever it is those guys drink to get off, or shipping in underage boys for the Saudi princes to have fun, I don't know what they do, what their kicks are, but whatever it is that they do, there's nothing Bush can do about us suing you. You dirtbags. So that gladdened my heart. Speaking of terrorism, international or otherwise, and $100 trillion lawsuits, say, friends, listen to me when I tell you about our website, the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. On it, you can pick up a copy of our CD, our best of CD for the year 2001. It's called Bring It. It's available there. Also, we have the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and we have our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Now, all of that's in our souvenir shop, and when you get to the website, you need a backstage pass to listen to all of the audio, and this is classic stuff going back many years, going back like 2 months, going back last week. We are constantly loading new audio into our website so you can enjoy it, and that is only available, though, with a backstage pass. $6.95 a month, or if you want, you can get a 6-month subscription or a 12-month subscription, whatever, to the Phil Henry Show website. That's philhenryshow.com. Also, we have an email address there, so you can drop us an email if you'd like to on our website. Now, here's something kind of personal, but I'm very serious about this. I'm having a birthday party at my house in 2 weeks. It's going to be my birthday party. And I'm looking for a band to play this gig. Now, all I want is some guys to just set their instruments up and play. I can't provide all kinds of staging or lighting or anything like that, okay? There's going to be, I don't know, maybe 90 of my friends there. We're going to be drinking beer and, you know, and we'll have some food catered in. Now, here's what I would like if you're at all interested, if you have a band, and I don't care what part of the country you're in, or for that matter, what part of North America you're in. Here's what I'd like if you're interested in playing my birthday party at my house. You send a 45-second MP3, and no longer than 45 seconds, an MP3 of your band to the following email address, bandtapes, BANDTAPES, at Phil Hendry Show, PHILHENDRIE show.com. Make sure you include in your email the name of your band and a contact name and telephone number. Now, what am I going to pay? Nothing. Although we will feed you and we'll throw some beer down your gullet. What we'll also do is we'll promote your band and we'll promote the gigs that you have on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, I would like a band that can do, you know, covers. Okay, I know you got all kinds of original tunes that you just love to break out and let the world hear. I'm basically looking for a band that can do rhythm and blues. Now, if you got original rhythm and blues, blues and rock and roll, that's fine. That's cool. I would love that. I ain't looking for anybody that can do Beach Boys. I don't want that. I'm not looking for anybody that can do the Beatles. I'm not. Although, if you got a couple, you can, you know, that's cool. I'm looking for a good boogie band that can play some dance music, some rhythm and blues and blues. And rock, you know, Pearl Jams, Led Zeppelin, some Deep Purple covers would be fantastic. Even though I wasn't really a big fan of Deep Purple, but I see what it does to chicks when they play Highway Star. So, you get what I'm saying? No longer than a 45-second MP3 of your band to bandtapes at philhenryshow.com. Make sure you include your email, the name of your band, and a contact, very important, a contact name and telephone number. We'll plug the band if we you know, if we select you, or even the bands that have come in, we'll plug the gigs. Okay, so send that on in. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
You know, this country, everything's a fad. I mean, everything is a fad around here. You know, there's a diet fad, and we got the car fad, and what kind of clothing. We even have crime fads. What's the hip crime today? Taking kids. That's right, abducting children is the new hip copycat, monkey see and monkey do crime of today. Used to be freeway shootings, remember that? Don't talk too much about that, Phil, because you bring them back. Somebody may want to, you know, somebody may want to blast from the past on those. Somebody may want to, you know, a little trip back in time, like a flashback, like a solid gold on that. And, hey, criminals has got to be in style, too, you know, so abduct a kid today. This is such one of the more irritating aspects of living around here. I say around here in these parts, North America, is the sensibility that we have is just so juvenile. I mean, really, when they say, in my business, many of you may not know this, but in my business, in the broadcasting business, which is allied with the advertising business, we are told, now not anymore, but when I started in this business, they said, remember, you're speaking to a median intelligence that is equivalent to that of a 12-year-old's. That's what I was told. When you talk to your audience, you are talking to a median intelligence of about the age of 12. Now, I never would have believed it, but as I move through my life and as I consume the news, I consume more news than any of you listening because I happen to live in the middle of the news. I mean, I walk into this place every day, it's all I can see. I'm on my computer every day and I'm looking at news and I'm digesting news and I'm trying to rearrange news and I'm trying to reconstruct news and I'm trying to reinterpret news and everything has to do with news in my world. What's the big news story and what's the second biggest news story and what is on everybody's mind? And we find, much to our chagrin, that whatever is the headline of the day may not necessarily be what anybody's talking about. I'll give an example. Everybody thinks the baseball strike is a big story because that's the headline. You think anybody really cares? The answer is, of course not. You think the guys out there, you guys is who I'm talking, you guys don't care about the baseball strike. You don't care about the baseball strike. You do care about hearing stories about missing kids. And lately, man, we've had a lot of them. You want to know why? Because now this is what the fad is. It's a fad. I can't describe it any other way. There is a simple-minded way that the antisocial individual in this society has of consuming information, and when he's antisocial and sociopathic and borderline personality and, you know, one step away from a prison cell for the rest of his life, when he hears about something happening, he goes, ooh, I'll try that too. So somebody steals a kid in Salt Lake City, and then someone goes after a kid in San Diego, and then the two girls are abducted, and the next thing you know, here comes another kid today, a little girl in Virginia. She's been abducted. And on and on and on it'll go, because that's the new fad. And if you think I'm kidding, do you remember when Lorena Bobbitt sawed off her husband's penis after she got angry at him? Do you realize that I read story after story within weeks of that, of guys doing it to themselves? You think I'm kidding, don't you? Guys were cutting off their own penises after Lorena Bobbitt did her husband, because this was, well, it's cool. It must be something to do. I don't know. I think they got no... Unless you show them the way, they don't know. In fact, my own engineer, Chris Pelton, did that. He sawed it off, and we took pity on him, and now he works for me. He's not hearing me. It's in a jar at home and a jar of alcohol. Because unless you tell them what to do, they don't have a life. It's what sociopathic, psychopathic people do. Unless they can see around them how to behave, they don't know how to behave because they were born without any... They were born without any conscience, so they don't know how to move about in the world. So the big fad crime now is child abduction. I get up this morning, is another little girl's been taken. We had the two girls who were kidnapped in California. We had the little Van Damme girl. We got the smart girl. I know I'm missing. There's another girl somewhere. There've been a half a dozen of these kids. The little girl that was picked up from Echo Park here the other day. Does the woman know why she did it? She didn't know why she did it. She just took the little girl. Why? Because she read about it in the newspaper. Everybody's stealing kids. Why don't you try it too? Okay. What kind of an empty-headed world do we live in when the criminals aren't even creative anymore? I mean, whatever happened to the good old days of John Dillinger and cats like that? John Gotti, Al Capone. These guys had flash. They had panache. They had a stash. They had cash. Dig? So I'm not saying let's not have crime. I'm saying I want more creative crime, and I want it now. Now, moving along. By the way, our number is 1-800-449-8686. A federal judge on Thursday refused to block a summer reading program for incoming freshmen at the University of North Carolina. He was asked to block that reading program because one of the books that the students were going to read is the Quran, Islam's holy text. Let me say this. I want to clarify this because some people are confused. I'm going to clarify it for you. When you agree to support a public institution as a taxpaying member of this society, you do not get to automatically determine what the curriculum's going to be. You do not get to automatically determine whether the art they're creating is within your definition of art. You do not get to decide whether they pray. You do not get to decide any of that. The teachers do. Now, you do get to have a hand in how a variety of these trustees are selected and whatnot. But the curriculum, you don't get to do. By paying your taxes, you're saying, I believe in public education. That's all you're saying. Now, you don't have to pay them. You can shag ass out of here anytime you want. You can move to wherever you want to move. Move to someplace really groovy. Where is it all the white people are moving these days? Oh, I got it, Australia. They're digging it down there, man. Where's everybody going now? They're all moving up there. What, are they going back to Africa? You know, the black folks go back to Africa. The white people go back to Australia. But it's kind of, it's hot, and it's down there someplace. The rest of us will hang around and we'll continue growing the country the way we think we ought to. But you don't get to decide anything. By paying your taxes, you have tacitly said, I will allow the schools to select the curriculum. By supporting the National Endowment for the Arts, you are saying, I will allow those individuals who are qualified to judge. You don't get to nitpick every single solitary thing that comes down. That's why this judge is out of sight, because he told these clowns in North Carolina, guess what, it's a school. They read the Quran, they read Darwin's Black Box, they read The Origin of the Species. It's a school. They learn. Take your lawsuit and go park it, okay? Go sue the Saudi Arabians. You don't get to do that. You want to pull your kid out of there and put him in a private school? Everybody's doing it. That's the new, that's the other fad. Let's pull him out of the public school and put him in a private school. That's the new fad, too. Let's go abduct a kid and put our kid in a private school. That'll solve a lot of problems. That's a real genius move. Go ahead, do it. But while you're in the public school system, you don't get to say anything. And let me tell you what, if you put your kid in a private school, you'll never get to say anything. This is the beautiful thing about private schools. Some of you may not know this. I got my kids in a private school, and guess what? I don't get to say a word about how they're educated. Because you know what happens? If they don't happen to like some of my questions, they tell me to get my ass and my kids out of the school, and there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. What are you going to do? Sue them? For what? They don't want you in their school. Goodbye. You say, well, isn't there anything that I can say or do? Yeah, there are little things you can say or do, but controlling down to the books they read, the curriculum, you have got no right. No right. And I'm glad for that, because I happen to live in America. I love the fact that this country, to some degree, supports public education. And the minute that private citizens, ignoramuses who haven't got a four-year degree, or let alone a high school diploma, or let alone ever got out of clay in kindergarten, are going to control the curriculum of a college, forget it. Or a high school, or a middle school, or anything else. You pay taxes, you send your kid there, the teachers are the one that decide what it is the kids are going to learn. And if you're going to start nitpicking Tom Sawyer and Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm and the Quran and everything else because you happen to have a hard-on for Islam or whatever, then I got a little news flash for you, brother. Just keep your kids in a private school. See how they like it when you start complaining about the curriculum. They'll tell you to get out. Put your kid in a private school. See how much you like it. I know. Homeschool your kids. Then you can do everything that you want. And you can teach them everything, and I guess they'll come out okay. They don't need to be socialized. They can sit there, and we'll just get back to that good old log cabin living, you know? Sitting around a fire there. Mama's got a book on her knee. Papa just came in from slopping the pigs. He's going to stoke the fire. You know, big brass kettle drum there, whatever the hell it is. The kids are wearing their big knee boots. She's got an, I got it, Amish. That's what we need. We got to be Amish, okay? Let's raise a barn and, you know, I got to, let's get together, man, have some apple cider and raise a barn. All right. That's what I call kicks. Until then, you just let the teachers decide and bug off with your bad self. I was going to play another version of my blue suede shoes, but I can see I've taken it out of there. In fact, in this hour of the show, what we're going to do is we're going to play this song as theme music. Yeah, throughout the entire hour. Here it is. How about that?
Love me.
All right. John, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. What about the Quran, the separation of church and state? They don't read the Bible in schools.
I don't understand your question.
Because you were saying that it's required or whatever, that we shouldn't have a choice on what the schools do.
And your question is what?
What about the separation of church and state?
What about it?
How you were saying the Quran?
Yeah.
How the Quran? Anyway, that's their Bible, right?
Islam. Yeah.
Isn't. You know, what about the separation of church and state? You don't
understand that. They're not teaching religion. They are studying the Quran from the standpoint of historical text and philosophical study. They're not indoctrinating or saying that is the truth or saying that it is the philosophical way to live. They are studying from a cultural standpoint. In much the same way somebody in Saudi Arabia might say, today we're going to study the Bible so that we can understand Western civilization better and understand what these people are talking about when they talk about the burning bush and all that stuff. It is an academic pursuit. And many American schools study the Bible the same way. They don't study it from the standpoint of a religious indoctrination. They study it from the standpoint of an academic
understanding of a culture or of a people or of a religion. You dig?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. They study it, in other words, as literature. See? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
You saw Carell on CNN talking about the baseball strike. Wow.
Love me tender.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and this, of course, is August 16th. It was 25 years ago that Elvis Presley died. 25 years ago that the King passed on. Yes, some of the greatest music ever recorded was recorded by Elvis Presley. And Elvis also did some other things that you may find interesting. He married an underage woman. That's right, in a day and age where men are being thrown into prison for sexual contact with women under 18, Elvis, along with Jerry Lee Lewis and others, had not only sexual contact with teenage girls, but married them. M-A-R-R-I-E-D, married them. Jerry Lee Lewis, in his case, married, had sex with, and eventually divorced a 14-year-old.
Love me.
Oh, you say that Elvis married Priscilla when she was 17?
Love me, love.
She moved in with him when she was 13.
Take me.
Yes, Elvis Presley. Having sex with a 13-year-old.
For
and then eventually dying on his toilet. Dying on his toilet because he had about 70 pounds of impacted banana and peanut butter sandwiches shoved up his colon.
Love me.
He took an assistant coroner, a jackhammer, to free it.
Love me true.
Elvis.
Oh,
dead
my
at 42.
Dreams fulfilled.
Thank you. Bye.
For my.
All right, it's a cheap shot. It's a cheap shot, but it's true.
And I always will.
Me too. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Genealogists studying Elvis Presley's family trees say you may be related to Elvis. All you got to do is www.ancestry.com/Elvis and find out. They found out that Elvis was part Cherokee Indian, that he was a distant relative of Abe Lincoln and Jimmy Carter. Yeah, okay. And you may be related to Elvis. In fact, I went on www.ancestry.com/Elvis. I found out that I'm related to Elvis, even though my family's from Jamaica.
I am related to Elvis. My mother's great aunt Jody had an affair with Elvis's dad's goat.
Okay, bud, here I go. Ha, 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 ha,
ha. You're an ass.
Oh, yeah, well, it ain't funny, it ain't funny. I'm supposed to laugh at that? You know, your what was that?
My mother's great aunt Jody had an affair with Elvis's dad's goat.
Yeah, still not funny.
Yeah, that was real funny. By the way, Elvis Presley had to take a jackhammer to release all the peanut butter sandwiches from his colon.
I thought that was funny.
Well, you thought it was funny, but the point I'm trying to make is that anybody else think it funny.
Well, you know something, man? I'll put it to a vote. Do you think having sex with Elvis's dad's goat is funnier than me saying that they had a jackhammer peanut butter sandwiches out of the
peanut butter sandwiches?
That they had to jackhammer peanut butter sandwiches out of Elvis's colon.
That they had a jackhammer.
I understand what I'm saying. Do you understand what you're saying?
I work on my material.
Come here.
What are you doing?
Come here. Get out of here. Okay, the voting is coming in, and Bud wins.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ha, 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 ha. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian? Here is Isaiah.
Hey, this is Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
I got a good conspiracy theory for you on all the child abductions. What's going on is the media is blowing this all out of proportion. There's been child abductions, you know. There's a few kids abducted every day, and we never hear about it until recently because, you know, the news has been slow and we need something to keep them going. So what they're going to do is they're going to keep on going this more and more, and soon you'll have to start seeing advertisements on TV. Do you know where your child is? Is she at school? Check. So they're going to get this biotechnology where you can just, you know, put a chip in somewhere in your body, like with a GPS, and they're just going to start implanting them in kids, you know, various places. You won't know, so you can't just take it out.
Yeah.
And so I figure, you know, if you ever see a company on the stock market, you know, start to do all this, I know they already got the technology out there and there's some companies doing it for pets.
Uh-huh.
But if you see one, get in on it while the stocks are still low because your stocks will soar.
Oh, okay. Are you planning on buying some of that?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck.
All right.
All right, man. 1-800-449-8686. So he's going to buy into the technology. What I'm buying into is this sticker on my kid's forehead, that this child protected by, what's that, Bel Air Security. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start just stickering the kid's forehead. Let me tell you what, nobody's going to put a chip in their kid. That's going to go up in flames. It's one of those things everybody thinks is a sure thing. Boy, the technology, and that's going to go. Yeah, in about 100 years. In 100 years, maybe. Not now. It's too weird. It's too weird. It may work, but it's too weird. Some kookball, some mother, somebody there with a, you know, she's got a big Krispy Kreme habit. She's got the big, large, rippling thighs with the too tight bicycle shorts and the big, large tent-like muumuu dress. And she sits there nervously eating, caramel candies. And the kids, she doesn't keep. She got them on a kid leash tied to a tree out front. Yeah, she'll probably put the chip in the kid. But other than that, and she'll be putting chips in her, too. Wavy lavies. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Let's go to R.C. on The Phil Henry Show. R.C., go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, great show as always. I wanted to direct your attention. I seen something on the Internet. You might not know it's on there.
Yeah?
It's a website called Hot or Not. It's a website called Hot or Not.
Okay.
You're on it.
I'm on Hot or Not.
Yes, sir, you are.
What is Hot or Not?
Well, you can send in a picture of your girlfriend or anybody, and they vote on whether your face is good-looking or whether you could make a freight train take a dirt road.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. All right, thanks for your call.
No, I swear to God you're on it, I swear.
What's it called?
It's called www.hotornot.com.
And I'm on it.
Yeah, somebody sent in your picture. On account, I guess they thought you're hot.
Okay, so if I go to www.hotornot, my face is on Hot or Not, and somebody has rated my face?
Yeah.
What did I get?
Like a 2.8 or something out of 10.
All right, so I'm ugly, huh?
No, nah, I'm only kidding. It's like an 8.4, I think.
Well, I got a whole bunch. All right, I'm on hotornot.com, but it's a whole bunch of pictures. I can't go through this.
No, I got the exact address. What people can enter in and look at your face.
You have the address?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's HTTP.
Well, now, forget that. Just go to the www.
Okay. www.hotornot.com/r/?. EID equals capital KUKYQ. Or no, wait a second.
Oh, Jesus.
No, really, hold on.
What is it?
www.hotornot.com.
I got it. Go.
R /?EID equal sign capital KUKYOQR and then that and sign thing.
What's the and sign?
Like if you want to say like Bob and Ken, it's the peas and carrots.
Oh, Bob and Ken. Okay, I got it.
And then small letters KEY equal sign capital RRM.
Have you got it, Craig? He can't find it.
Oh, well, he's got to be one retarded.
Never mind, okay? He's trying to find it. You got it in there, Chris? Chris found it. So what do I got? I got an 8.4, this ugly mug?
Yeah. It shocked me, too. We sat around and kind of laughed about it.
Oh, ha ha.
Well, I mean, you got to admit, you aren't the best-looking guy.
No, I understand that. 8.4, what, just the women vote on this?
Anybody can. It says you, if you want to vote on the men, you can, but gays can vote. Well.
And then if you want to vote on just women.
Yeah, but then lesbians can vote there, too.
Okay, fine. All right, so it's www.hotornot.com. We gave the whole thing if you want to go right to my picture. Is that, oh, here it is right here in front of me. Yeah, it's www.hotornot.com/r/?EID equals sign capital KUKYOQR, peas and carrots, small letters KEY equals sign RRM.
No, that's wrong.
Oh, baloney. I wrote it down and you gave it to me, okay?
I bet Taylor would vote on you on account of him liking the scene where Vig Grains gets up the back door in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's fantastic. Look at that mug. There I am. I got an 8.4. Whatever. Anybody can go on those sites and vote. Have you ever just, like, gone to some place and just... I think I'd be the kind of guy that would go to that site and give everybody a 1 just to see if it would affect the voting. Now, I'm that guy. You want to know who the guy is that's messing all the voting up? It's me. I go to every one of those polls, and I enter in wrong information. I hit 1s. I just try to screw it all up, because that's what I like. I like taking the media as we know it and turning it on its head. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't forget, I'm sure don't forget, like this is a major contest we're having here. My birthday party at my house, your band can play it. Just send us an MP3, a 45-second MP3 of your band. I'm not kidding. Make sure you include your email, the name of your band, and a contact name and telephone number. And the deadline is a week from today, next Friday. So we'd like to listen to these. We'll play these on the air, and we may, you know, we'll have a judging process. I can't promise you any bread, but I can promise you a little promotion for your band, and we'll, you know, we'll feed you at the party. It's only going to be about, I don't know how many people are going to show up for this thing. You know, we've invited 90, so with the normal attrition, probably about 5. It'll be me, Taylor, and Pelton wandering around with a plate with a plate full of food and a beer. And then you guys playing on my driveway. So send us that 45-second MP3 of your band to bandtapes@philhenryshow.com. That's bandtapes@philhenryshow.com. And again, we want your email address, the name of your band, and a contact name and telephone number. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I would like to make a comment on the private school comment that you made. What kind of private school do you send your kids to?
A private school.
I live in New York State, and I attend a private school in Connecticut.
Yeah?
And it's a boarding school.
Okay, cool.
The school is, it has a headmaster and the teachers teach, but it's actually run by the trustees, which are former graduates, and some are actual parents of students there.
Right.
And also, students also have a say in the school in which we have a disciplinary committee. So when people get in trouble, they go in front of a disciplinary committee, which is half teachers and half students. And I don't know about your private school, but most of the private schools that I'm aware of have systems like this so that parents we have an influence in the school.
Well, true. I mean, every parent has an influence in the school. But if, let's say, they decide to tell you, Joe, you know what, Joe, we don't want you in the school anymore. Well, why is that? You know what? We find that your parents are a pain in the rear end. What do you think about that? And then they tell you to split. You don't have any real legal recourse.
How often do you hear of cases like that, though?
Oh, dude. I wish I could tell you. Man, I know of many right here where I live, and I don't want to name any names, but a certain private, let's say private elementary school that I know about does it a lot. And there's absolutely no recourse, and the people can't do anything about it. They just say, you know what? I don't like the color of your tie today. Take your kid and take your minivan and get your rear end down the road. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, that would be a place I wouldn't send if I was...
That's a very good point.
I wouldn't send my kids there to that kind of a private school, so I wouldn't be put in that situation.
And yet the educational... What you don't know. See, you go in there, the education is very good, and the teachers are... You know, I mean, the kids are getting... You know, the reading scores are high, and everything's really cool. But the trade-off is it's run by a despot. I mean, a virtual dictator who literally has, this individual has their hand in everything, and if you disagree to any great degree, then they just kick you out. So there, in some places, and I'm not saying this is the case of your school, Joe, which sounds like a very egalitarian system, but in some places, there's an illusion of parent involvement, and in point of fact, it's just one, it's a little fiefdom.
But when a parent looks at these private schools,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you don't know.
You should research them a little bit.
Well, you don't know.
I mean, it's like a college. You can talk to other people, talk to parents who go there. I'm sure that when you go to a private school, you maybe go for a tour or like, how do you learn about it? You just hear about it? You just come up with something? You should ask, before you send your kid there, you should have some background on the school. You know what you're sending your kid to.
Hey, you know what? I'm telling you, you're not going to believe me, but I'm telling you, you can't prevent all. There are many eventualities. There's no way you can research. I mean, I don't want to get in any specifics, but there just really aren't. I mean, what if, for instance, you research the hell out of this school, you send your kid there, and the next thing you know, one of the teachers has been busted for, you know, snorting Ajax.
Or sexual harassment. That happened
or anything like that.
Yeah.
How did you know? How could you know? You know, the guy was solid. He was... Next thing you know, they popped this guy because he's putting nitrous oxide up his rear end for fun and games. I mean, you know, so it happens.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the teacher's problem. You said that they.
Okay, you're leaving me, man. But it was a very good point, Joe. Thanks. Let's go to Chatsworth. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, we want to play at your party. I know how to play the skin flute.
Okay. Would you do me a favor and screen the freaking calls before they get here? It's the second time I've heard that kid. No, I ain't kidding you. I mean, you send your kid to a school, a private school? What do you? Yeah, come on. You guys telling me you think that's the answer to your problems? Ha ha! That's a hot one. It ain't the answer to your problems. You send your kid off to a private school, you got a whole new problem. You know what the new problem is? You got a person who runs the school who suddenly this is their little fiefdom. It's their little feudal state. And they will make all the decisions. And if you don't like it, well, you think you have a right to go to the teacher because you may come from a public school orientation which says that every time you want to open your mouth and shoot out some hot air, somebody's got to listen to it. Not in the private schools, they don't. You can walk up to the teacher and say, hey, I don't like the way you talk to my kid. Oh, really? Oh, that's great. See the door? Don't let the screen door hit you on the ass on the way out. Bye. What are you going to do about it? Now, a lot of you may think, well, that's exactly what I want. I want a school that is going to really teach the kids and is going to really... You don't know, man. You don't know. We've gone through it. And like I said, I ain't going to be specific. I don't want to mention any names, but my friend Chris Pelton... He was in Pulp Fiction. I think he played the part of Marcellus Wallace. And anyway, I'm just joking. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. What happened to our uplifting emails? What happened to my Bud Elvis quiz? Have I been... I've got a ton of stuff. Here it is, Janice. I'm sorry. Bud, you got your quiz that you want to ask?
Yeah, I want to do it, but you already did an email.
You know, I wish you spoke English, man. Okay, uplifting email for today. This comes to us from somebody. I don't know who sent this. Who is it, man? It's the Art Bell one. Oh, this is from Chris. Never mind. Here's our uplifting email. Phil, can you give me a CD name on that Hawaiian music that you were playing the other day? I want to use it for an upcoming exorcism. Sure, it's any Hawaiian music that you want, man. It's from a sound library, but any of that slack key crap you want is a beautiful thing. Just go down to the library and get it. Here's one from Melissa. Phil, I'm a listener that has enjoyed your show for about 2 years now, but I would like to offer you some advice. It would be nice if you could come up with a lesbane character. That's the way she spelled it. I'm sure she means lesbian. I can offer you some advice on this character's profile, if you like. All right, so she wants us to come up with a butch female character. We'll try to do that. Hello, and this is from the city of Montreal, actually. Great show, as always. A few months ago, Phil did a bit about an Italian designer and owner of a stylish Beverly Hills boutique which sold bathing suits. This designer often referenced his bathing suits as his children and was offended at large people wearing them, consequently resorting to the installation of a foghorn alarm at the door of his boutique. Anytime a fat woman walked through the door, the foghorn would go off. Anyway, the bit was hilarious, but the Italian accent was exceptional. I wonder if Phil will ever use that character or voice accent again. Well, it wasn't an Italian accent. The character's name is Rudy, and it's actually an Argentinian accent. And by the way, we have that music for our other writer, the Hawaiian music. I believe this came from Earthling. Earthling, here it is. Okay, that's that. Like I said, man, what's the name of the CD? Oh, that's specific Hawaiian music? Just go down to the record store and pick up any of that hula stuff.
Dear Phil, what is specifically the name of that Hawaiian music?
Any hula junk. That's what it's called. But anyway, to answer your question, Gino, and friends in Montreal, that was not an Italian accent. That is a Argentinian accent. The fact is, it's such a bad Argentinian accent, you thought it was an Italian accent. So those are our uplifting emails of the day here on The Phil Henry Show. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, okay. This is a Bud Dickman Elvis quiz for today, August 16th, 1990, or 2002. Elvis Presley. Okay, this will be a quiz of 1 through 5. Each question will have 3 multiple choice. Okay? Now...
You just get to it.
What was the early nickname bestowed on Elvis? Was it A, Elvis the Pig, B, Elvis the Pelvis, or C, Elvis the Pervert?
It's B, Elvis the Pelvis.
No. The early name was Elvis the Pig, and only after did they call him Elvis the Pelvis.
When did they call him Elvis the Pig?
When he first started recording.
Well, when did they call him Elvis the Pelvis?
When he went on the Ed Sullivan Show and he wiggled his butt.
But before that, he was Elvis the Pig.
Yes. Why do I always have to explain this to you?
I never heard of him called Elvis the Pig.
You better watch out, Mr. Hall will call. Then also, there's 2 times. They called him Elvis the Pig when he first started recording, and then 2 weeks before he died.
2 weeks before he died, huh?
Yeah, then he came back to Elvis the Pig.
I don't believe you.
Well, I don't give a crap. You don't believe me. I research the questions, everything.
They called him Elvis the Pig at the beginning of his... All right, give me another one.
What was unique about Elvis' early appearance on Ed Sullivan's show? A, because of Elvis wiggling the hips on the camera, and the camera was kept above his waist. B, because...
Yeah?
Because Elvis's fly was open... And the cameras were kept above the waist? Or because Elvis became aroused at the sight of Topo Gigio, they kept the camera above his waist on account of he had chub?
Well, let me guess. Is it C, he got aroused at Topo Gigio and they kept the camera because he had chub?
No, it was B.
Oh, because his fly was open.
Right.
You know it's because of his wiggling hips.
Bullcrap. Three, who was Elvis's famed manager? Colonel Potter, Colonel Tom Parker, Colonel Saunders.
Tom Parker.
Colonel Potter. Now then.
Let me go.
I'm going to tell.
Well, what are you going to tell? Go ahead and call Mr. Hall. Hey, did you know that Elvis's manager was Colonel Potter, who came from Korea and then managed Elvis? And he was a doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was Tom Parker.
Oh, right. What colonel's name Tom?
I don't know. Colonel Tom Parker. Get out of here. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.